I come to learn that we, as God's people, are a spoiled people. We are a people who God has certainly blessed in many ways. We are a people who God loves so much that He was not willing to see us stay in our sin, yet provided a way of salvation for us. And the reason why I say that we are a spoiled people is because of the richness of our God. And I've learned that it's nothing wrong with being spoiled as long as you are faithful. It's nothing wrong with being loved a lot, because our God definitely loves us. And because of that great love that He has for us, we ought to extend that love back to Him. For when you think of the riches of our God, and you think about the riches of the grace of God, you can't help but to love God even more because of His matchless grace and His rich mercy. I come before you on tonight very humbled. Humbled because God has allowed us to be part of His Son's body, something that we take advantage of, something that we take for granted. And I maintain on tonight, I have resoluted in my heart that I'm going to make every day count for God, and that I'm going to make sure, and that you are to make sure, that as long as you are breathing God's air, you ought to do all that you can to bring glory, honor, and praise to God. And the reason because of that is because of His great love for you and His great love for me. For He could have left us in our sin, but He chose to give us life in Christ. And I hope and I pray that after this lesson is over, that you will resolve in your heart to know for a fact that what God did for you was enough. That Him sending His only begotten Son, Him giving the abundance of His riches, was enough for you to live your life for Him and to give up any and everything that is in contrast to His will in order for Him to get glory in your life, Matthew 5, 13 through 16, so He can receive praise. The riches of God's grace, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. When we think about this passage, it's a very rich passage. Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, wanted them to understand that being faithful brethren in Christ Jesus was a privilege, and it ought to have been an honor to be faithful unto God. He exhorts the brethren in many things concerning the abundance of what they had in Christ, the spiritual blessings, the salvational peace which was in Christ, the mystery that He revealed unto them through the Word, the unity that they was to maintain, the greatness of the domestic life as it relates to the correlation to the church, and how it is in unison with the church, and how they were involved in being protected by God as long as they kept the armor on. Furthermore, he writes to enlighten them concerning Christ and His church, how God purposed to gather in one all things in Christ. Now, that's a very powerful passage there. For when you consider that in light of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2, Christ being the heir over all things, and then in light of Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, how God put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, I maintain that He's talking about the souls of men. I maintain that because Christ is the head of all men and the head of all things, those who are in Christ ought to realize that God is good to them, thus informing them how the church of Christ was predestined before the foundation of the world to adopt men into the church where salvation was, in order that they may receive the grace of God. But in addition to that, brethren, God had lovingly gave the world grace by sending his only begotten son, John 3 and verse number 16. However, because of that, they were able to obtain salvation, which only appeared unto men. Now, one thing when you look at Titus 2 and verse number 11 and verse number 14, salvation appeared unto men, but all men are not saved. Amazing when we consider this passage. Ephesians 1. I want us to highlight some things before we go into our lesson. And you'll learn this about me. I love long introductions. I like to take a long time to get where I'm going, and then when I get there, we're there. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you notice some things, some five times the prepositional phrase "according to" is used. Paul uses it in verse number 5, verse number 7, verse number 11, verse number 9, and verse number 19. When you look at this phrase, it literally means in conforming to, in agreement with, on the authority of. Now look at verse number 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 7, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 9, according to his good pleasure. Verse number 11, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse number 19, according to the working of his mighty power. Notice these things are according to. And when we understand the grace, the riches of his grace, it's all according to, or according to his will, according to his authority, in connection with. Just as in chapter 1, Paul demonstrates how it's all because of God you have these privileges in Christ. But notice the phrase, the riches of his. We see this in Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Ephesians 3 and verse number 16, according to or the riches of his inheritance in the saints, the riches of his glory. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, the riches of the goodness and forbearance. Romans chapter 9 and verse 23, the riches of his glory. All the abundance of God's moral character, which gives us the riches of his grace. It is because of God's moral character, he is willing to display that to us. It's because of his moral character, he's willing to share that with us. And God desires for us to be just like him. However, God wants us to focus on his grace and on the riches of his grace. Grace is God's favor toward the unworthy, resulting in deliverance from sin and his righteous anger. Brethren, did you hear that? Grace, or God's grace, is his favor toward the unworthy, resulting in deliverance from sin and his righteous anger. In other words, humankind was on death row, but now they have an opportunity to capitalize on God's goodness, or God's grace, or his kindness, John 1 and verse number 12. But why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man needed someone to bring grace. Man needed someone to bring the kindness of God down to him. Hence the reason, when you consider what Jesus said, as John records in John 1 and verse number 17, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Brethren, we needed grace, and God extended that grace through Christ, and Christ gave that grace to mankind, or to humanity, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 4. But again, before we can truly appreciate the riches of God's grace, we must understand that grace has an evolution, which means that it evolved. Number one, grace originally meant
that element or property in a thing which caused joy to the hearer or the beholder. It implied the presence of beauty, as in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 22. You remember what was said there, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words, there it is, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? But then the Greek word, it evolved even more during a later time, which means favor or goodness of man toward man. We see that in Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through verse number 34. But finally, as used by the inspired writers of God, the term grace came to mean favor or goodness of man or God to man. Favor from the worthy to the unworthy, which is seen in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through verse number 7. So why does Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7 magnify the grace of God with the plural noun riches? Now notice Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse number 7 as your Bible says. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Notice the word riches there. And brethren, this is why I say that we are a spoiled people. We are a people that God has taken care of. And because of that, we are rich because he is rich. But what does this word mean? This word means valuable. It means wealth. It means to bestow. To bestow honor or to place upon, abundance, plenteous, copious, bountiful, profuse, or overflowing. Friends, did you hear that? God is rich in his grace. He is overabundant or abundant. He is plenteous. He is bountiful. He is wealthy as it relates to his grace. But then turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2. And verse number 7. And I want us to add something to this particular phrase, riches of his grace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7, notice what Paul here says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Notice how Paul uses the compound Greek word hupobalo, which means to throw beyond exceedingly. If I could, and if I didn't have to wipe my face too much, I would take this and I would throw it to the back of the wall instead of just dropping it right here so I can get to it. When you think of the grace of God, the exceeding grace of God, we understand that God goes over and beyond to give his people what they need in order to have salvation and the abundant life. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 84 and verse number 11, no good thing will he withhold from him who walketh uprightly. Brethren, God's people are to walk uprightly so God can extend that exceeding grace unto their lives. But that's important because in order for us to capitalize on the exceeding grace or the exceeding riches of God's grace, we have to be obedient people. Now, that's one thing the world really messes up, that you can live any type of way you want to and receive the exceeding riches of God's grace. Brethren, that goes totally against what God teaches us, and it goes totally against his character and against his morals and his values. Brethren, when we consider the richness of God and how he bestows his blessings upon us, his grace upon us, if anything, we ought to give it back to God through obedient living. But the word abound or superabound or exceedingly. And I love how Paul progresses from Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, the riches of his grace, to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7, the exceeding riches. Brethren, look at the language. This is not happening accidentally. We see Paul as he uses this and he demonstrates the excitement about God and his grace. This word is seen in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 4, where Paul says, I am exceeding joyful, not just joyful, but exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Brethren, you get the point? Here we see God goes over and beyond to give his people what they need. Ephesians 1 and verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power. Ephesians 2 and verse 7, but I love Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Brethren, did you see that? Did you hear that? God can do exceedingly or abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh with us, worketh within us. Now, brethren, I want us to stop and think about this. God in his overflowing goodness, his overflowing kindness toward us, has given us as his people something that we did not deserve, and that's kindness. Think about it. Was God right in being kind to mankind? You better believe he was, because that's part of his character. And if God's people are going to demonstrate the character of God, we must be a gracious and kind people as well. Notice the text, Ephesians 1. How did he place upon us the riches of his grace? He gave us spiritual blessings, which are only in Christ. Now, one thing that baffles my mind, brethren, when you look at Ephesians 1, 3, and it talks about all spiritual blessings are in Christ, brethren, that teaches us that there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. They're all in Christ. And because of that, God has given us the riches of his grace. And when you think of redemption, and you think of the inheritance, and you think of all of the things that is enumerated in Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 11, brethren, we have everything we need in order to succeed spiritually in this life. There's no reason why we should fail. But also, what I think God is teaching us is how to cultivate and maintain a relationship with him. Read Ephesians chapter 1 with me real quick. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I want us to take notice of these things. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word blessed, praise, eulogize, speak well of. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed upon us, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure, or the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in all things in Christ, in one, all things in Christ, both to which are in heaven and which are in earth in him. In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, brethren, God has given us everything we need to succeed. He has given us everything we need spiritually to abound. He has given us everything we need in this life to be thankful to him. Now, I asked you a couple questions before we got started. Is it enough? I want you to keep that in mind later on when we get to the application. Because God desires for us to cultivate our relationship with him through Jesus Christ so we can see what we have and we can see that God has shed upon us the riches of his favor, the riches of his grace. And because of that, we ought to turn back to him and say thank you every now and then. Because he has canceled the debt of sin. Because he has taken care of our sin problem. The guilt of sin is no longer plaguing the children of God. We can shout hallelujah to the Father for his kindness, for his benevolence, for his graciousness, for his goodness toward us. Friends, did you hear that? Because of what God has done for us, we can shout out hallelujah to the Lord. He has been gracious toward us, and therefore we are rich because he is rich. We are his children because we have been immersed into Christ, because we follow his son. Is it enough, brethren, to turn around and tell God thank you? Is it enough, or does God have to do more for us? Does God have to send his son again in order for us to realize what we have in Christ Jesus? Do we understand how rich we are, how valuable we are, what God has bestowed upon us, how wealthy we are? Who cares of the possessions that you have? Jesus said that as it relates to it doesn't matter what you have in this world. Our life does not consist of the abundance of the things in which we possess. It's all about our spirituality and our spiritual walk. And that's why we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. As the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, we're rich because we can pray through Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father. He's the one that has given us this favor through his kindness. Through his kindness, which means that as God's people, we ought to live those type of lives. We ought to live spiritual lives. We ought to be a people who are not involving ourselves in sin. Amen. How shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Brethren, we ought to be a people who see how rich we really are, not based upon the possessions we have in our hands. God is rich, therefore we're rich. I got a couple questions for you. Matter of fact, I got about 20 questions for you, and I'm going to read them all. And it's important. It's so important, brethren, that we understand this. Because if we continue to live our lives as if we're poor people, we're not poor people because we have been bought by the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When that soldier pierced him in the side, forthwith came blood and water. That's the same blood that purchased the church. That's the same blood that washes away our sin. Don't tell me we're not rich. I might not have a bed to sleep on. I might not have a dollar in the bank. But as long as I am in Christ, I am in good fellowship with Lazarus. Oh, brethren, sometimes I think we don't understand how rich we are and how kind God is to us. God is a kind God that allows us to be in a central location called the Church of Christ. Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And it's all right to be a member of the Church of Christ, the church in which Jesus Christ, his blood purchased. We're rich. And we don't have to be feeling our way around town. We don't have to be feeling our way around different denominations. We're the Church of Christ. We're rich because we're in Christ. God has showed kindness to us.
and we made the decision, when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God didn't make us go down in the water. He didn't take us and throw us in the water. We made that decision because we wanted the spiritual blessings. We wanted to glorify God in this body. Is it enough? Or does God need to do more? Maybe God needs to have his son crucified again. Maybe God needs to come up with a different plan for those brethren who act like the first plan is not good enough. Is it enough? Or should God do more? Is it enough to help us live accurately for the Lord? Can God be any kinder to us? When we think about the richness, the exceeding riches of his grace, does God, should he be any kinder to us? Or has he been kind enough? Is it enough? Is God's goodness enough? Or do we need more? Put your seatbelts on, brethren. As we was flying here from Abilene to Corpus, I didn't know if that thing was going to flip over or not. That thing got so bumpy, Israel, I thought we was going to flip over. You know, is God's grace enough for you to pray every day? Or should he do something else? Is his grace enough for you to read his word and to meditate upon it day and night, allowing it to rest, rule, and abide in your life so you can make good, spiritual, solid decisions like Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 14 teaches? Is it enough? Is his grace enough? You understand that it is his grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present age. Is his grace enough? Or do we need more? Does God need to come down here and do more for us? Sounds like a spoiled child who understands that his mom and dad's going to give him everything he wants and he's still not happy with it. Is it enough? Is it enough? His grace ought to be enough. Is it enough for you to drop the foolish and the snotty attitude that you have? Is it enough for you to submit to the leadership considering their lives? Is his exceeding riches enough for you to be more thankful to Almighty God and to those who are around you? Is it enough for you to be content with what you have? Is it enough for you to be more dedicated to the work of the church and being an example to the lost so people outside of Christ can see the grace of Christ in your life? Is it enough? Or do you need more? You know, the more I thought about this, I see how spoiled we are sometimes. The more I thought about this, I see how kind God really is. And I see how rich we really are. And sometimes we're so rich and we want so much more that we can't see what we have before us. Is it enough? Is it enough for brethren to love one another unconditionally without partiality or hypocrisy? Is it enough? Is it enough for elders in the Lord's church to stand for the truth, to make sure that they watch out for the sheep and they make sure that they love the sheep? Is it enough? Is it enough for deacons to work hard with the elders and the local congregation, making sure that God gets the glory? It's not about having your name in the bulletin, but it's about Jesus Christ being elevated. Is it enough? Is it enough for the preacher to stand for righteousness, to preach the word in season, out of season? Doesn't matter who stands in his face. Is God's kindness enough? Is his goodness enough? Is it enough for him to live a moral life so people can see his life, keeping in mind that as he preached to those who are in the audience, they're going to make sure that he's living up to the word of God? Is his richness, is his kindness, is his goodness enough for me as a gospel teacher to live the life that God desires for me to live? Is it enough? Wow. Sometimes it's not enough. We want more. Is his rich grace enough for marriages to stay together
You remember when, this is free, you ain't got to pay me for this. You remember when God put Adam to sleep and took out a rib, took that rib and he made Eve? Is God's grace enough for brethren not to have spare ribs? Tearing the church up, brethren. Is it enough? Has God done enough for you to stay with your spouse and to love her and to love him unconditionally as the Bible teaches us? Is it enough for children to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right? Oh, why does it take parents dying for us as children to realize what we have? Is it enough? Is God's kindness, goodness, benevolence, graciousness enough? Or do we need more? Brethren, when I look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, his graciousness and the riches of his grace deals with our salvation, no doubt, but it deals with our abundant living as well. Oh, brethren, God is kind to us. And I believe at times we failed him. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be truthful. We fail him because we're not thankful enough. God wants us to be thankful. And the more thankful you are to God, the more you'll realize what he has done for you. Does he have to do more? Or is it enough? May God bless you. May God keep you.